Hi, this is Tamika Riley, and thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Kingdom Business Podcast. This week, as promised, we're going to be telling you how to clean up your credit report yourself on Kingdom Business.
Welcome to Kingdom Business, where we sharpen your iron to help you live that abundant life. And now your host, helping the last to become first, Tamika Riley.
And we are back. We thank you for joining us. We apologize for the delay. Had a few storms and fires to put out, but we are back. And as promised, we're going to be talking about how you can clean up your credit report yourself. There are a lot of valuable people among us who do this for a living. They will help you clean up your credit report, but it does come with a fee. So if you're in a position to where you're not able to pay that fee, because let's face it, if you had a few extra $100 a month, $200-$300 a month, then your credit report probably would look a little bit different. But today we're going to be talking about how you can get that cleaned up. One of the first things we're going to be talking about is the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Now, before I get started, I do need to say my disclaimer. I am not a legal professional. I am not an attorney. This is not legal advice. This is for entertainment purposes only. This is a podcast. I was once upon a time a bill collector, and I was very tempted to start a collection agency. And I'm going to tell you why a little bit later, because the profit margin is absolutely bananas. But in regards to cleaning up your credit report, this is not an episode on how to get out of paying your bills, how to do immoral things or anything like that. This episode is strictly for people who you're trying to buy a house, you're trying to get a job, you're trying to have credit extended to you so that you can move about in the world the way you need to. And you have all of these accusations on your credit report that are levied against you. That's what I call them. They're accusing you. And if you leave this unanswered, then it remains and it's crying out against you. To everybody that looks at your credit report. A lot of employers are going to check your credit report. If you need a car, if you need a house, or what have you, this information is on your credit report, and it's on there for years. In a lot of cases, it's 7 years. With bankruptcies, I believe it's 10, and with a lot of credit cards, I believe in some states, that's 4. But it's going to be different for your state. Every state is different. But that's pretty much the general rule of thumb. Now, with the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, this is something that came about, say, the mid-1970s or so. And what it does is it gives you rights. It gives you legal rights so that these modern day tax collectors, or whatever you want to call them, so that they can't just run over you. I've seen some terrible situations where, widows have had their savings accounts cleaned out by these people because they just didn't know. They didn't understand. People, they were taking advantage. And I've seen some very unscrupulous things take place. But you do have rights, and I just kind of want to explain to you what a lot of those rights are. Now, I don't know everything. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I'm willing to share what I do know. And again, it's for entertainment purposes only. Now, one of the things that we did when an account entered collections, sometimes that collector has purchased that debt. They purchase it for pennies on the dollar. I'm going to give you an example. Let's say, and I'm not exaggerating the numbers, let's say you buy $2.5 million worth of debt. There's maybe 500 people on that list. The average debt on that list may be $3,000, $3,500. There's 500 people on that list. You buy that list of names, numbers, account numbers, and, you know, whatever the information is, you may buy that for $2,500. If one person on that list doesn't know their rights and they pay you in full, you have just made a profit. But you're going after all 500. Not only are they going after all 500, but they're adding fees on top of fees on top of fees until what they're asking for looks absolutely nothing like the original debt that they're accusing you of. Like I said, it was tempting to go into. The profit margins are absolutely bananas. One thing that I thought about was setting up a fund, calling it Robin Hood. That name's taken, I know, but Robin Hood Financial, and we just buy up a bunch of people's debt and send them letters that they're forgiven. Your debt is forgiven. It's still a dream. But in the interim, if you are in a situation to where you have a lot of things on your credit report, Here are what some of your rights are. Now, what I'm speaking about is concerning the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the FDCPA. These are rights that are extended to you as a consumer. These apply to the third-party collectors, not the original creditor. Third-party collectors. And chances are, if you're getting a lot of harassing letters and phone calls and calls to your job, chances are it's probably coming from a third party. And when a third party purchases debt, it's usually on a spreadsheet, names, numbers, the information is sparse. For some reason, the original creditor was not able to collect on that debt. So they sell that debt, they write it off, their insurance does whatever it does, and it now belongs to this company that purchased it. Now, there are some cases to where the original creditor will reach out to a third party and say, hey, let's do a 30-70 split. You keep 30% of whatever you collect. But for the most part, a lot of the credit agencies will purchase a debt, especially if it's old, and they will attempt to collect on that debt. In the previous episode, I mentioned where I won a case against a debt collector. That particular collector was breaking the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Number one, he didn't read me my mini Miranda. This is an attempt to collect a debt. Any information obtained will be used for that purpose, yada, yada, yada. Number two, he threatened to take action that he could not legally take. He threatened to sue me. The debt was 14 years old. Statute of limitations ends at 7 years. It was out of statute of limitations. Time barred is another way that people may say it. So he was not able to legally sue me. What was something else that he did? I can't remember everything that he did. But once my credit lawyer, won the case, of course they ran, he garnished their account. And that was my declaration when I hung up that phone from that creditor. I was like, I don't even know who this is. But, you know, just because of the way he was speaking and the way he was, you know, trying to put fear in my heart, like I didn't know my rights. It rubbed me the wrong way. So I was like, you know, instead of me paying you, you're going to pay me in Jesus' name. That was my declaration when I hung up that phone. And that's what happened. So back to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. When you have someone accusing you of something that you believe is inaccurate, incorrect, erroneous, what have you, you have the right to ask them to validate that debt. Now, you can do this on the website of the three major credit bureaus. There are three major ones. There are others, but the three major ones are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You can do this directly on their website, but I don't recommend it. And the reason why I don't recommend doing it that way is because if you do it in writing, you send it certified, you have a copy of when it was received, who received it, what time it was received, everything that you need. Because once they receive your dispute, then they have 30 days to validate it or remove it. If they can't validate it, they have to remove it. Now, what you're going to ask them to validate, we'll get into that later, because you can ask for copies of the agreement that you entered into. You can ask them to prove that they are even authorized to collect on this debt because you didn't have any agreements with them. Your agreement was with the original creditor. Now, who is this? You know, for all I know, you're sitting at your kitchen table trying to, you know, it's usually not, but you have rights and you can ask them to verify, to validate a debt. And again, I would recommend that this be done in writing. But the very first thing that I want you to do, before you go to the big three, I want you to go to the big five, the bigger five: LexisNexis, SageStream, ARS, CoreLogix, and Innovus, I believe. So when you go there, the reason that you're going there is because whenever you have a debt or anything on your credit report, a lot of times the big three will go to the bigger five and they'll verify that information that way. So I want you to go to them as well. I want you to have all of your old addresses removed, all of your previous employers removed, all your old phone numbers removed. Because sometimes when you ask for a debt to be validated, reason number one why I don't want you to do it online is because when you ask that debt be validated, they'll go back and they'll say, okay, well, she lived at this address during this date. She lived at, this was her phone number back and so, and it matches here. They'll kick you back an automated response online and they'll say, this debt was validated or verified and it remains on your credit report. And some people give up there. They'll shrug it off and say, oh, well, I tried. No, go there. You can have all of that information removed. Because when I was in collections, believe it or not, all of those gaps that were on that spreadsheet that they bought from the original creditor, they weren't able to collect on it. They had missing information. That information was filled in by you. A phone call, a question, you know, chit-chatting, you know, making chit-chat with somebody, with whoever answered the phone. Looking at your credit report. Your phone number's on there. Your address is on there. Your previous employer, your current employer, if they want to garnish you, they know where you work. Whatever is usually on your credit report. You don't have to have that information there. Have that information removed. If you have something with check systems, do that as well. There are letters that you can send that we offer as well, or you can write them yourself. But the very first thing that I want you to do is have that information removed. Once you have that information removed, I want you to freeze your reports with LexisNexis, SageStream, ARS, CoreLogix, Innovas. Have your information frozen. Do that not only with them, but once you do it with them, do it with the big three credit reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Now, I do want to add this. With LexisNexis, it is a two-step process, and those instructions are included as well. When in the letters, you will also get instructions, you will get phone numbers and all that good stuff on how to freeze your credit reports, not only with the big three, but with the bigger five. But with LexisNexis, it is a two-step process. One of them, you do it online, and the other one, you do it via a phone call. The second one is just to opt out of your information being shared publicly. I don't even know why that's allowed. Your personal information, they call it personal for a reason, but yeah, you it's a two-step process with LexisNexis. Now, when you do have your reports frozen with the bigger five, over the next couple of business days, you are going to get letters in the mail. Those letters are going to have PIN numbers in those. Those PIN numbers are for you to use when you're ready to lift those credit freezes. Whenever you want to become credit active, I guess like with a mortgage, with a home, they probably will use LexisNexis. So you will need to, save those letters, to make sure that you have those PIN numbers. If you lose those letters, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time if you're credit active. But make sure, that you keep that information, because those PIN numbers are what you're going to use in order to lift those credit freezes. But make sure after a few days, once you freeze those bigger five, then you go in and you freeze those big three. But before you do anything, delete all that old stuff off your credit report. There's no need for it to be on there. Don't let some automated letter spit out a, we verified your information, because they matched up an old address somewhere that you used to live at. My name still is tied to people that I don't even know. I dated someone with a particular last name in high school. And to this day, my name is tied to members or other people, men and women that have that same last name. And they weren't even related to the person that I was dating. But because of some arbitrary match somewhere, they've tied my name. You know, if you do a search on yourself, they'll tie your name to these people. And some of these people you don't even know. Because, you know, maybe this matched or that matched. Have all that stuff deleted. Have it deleted. Don't muddy the waters. Don't create confusion. And don't make it easy for some system to say, we verified your information, and kick you back some letter when they have not. They don't have proof. They don't have an agreement that you entered into. They don't have your signature. They can't tell you what the terms of the agreement were. They can't prove that it was you. They just tied your name to something and they kicked you back a letter. So make sure you remove all that old stuff. Freeze your reports, your files with the bigger five. And then in a couple of days, go back and freeze it with the big three, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. All of those instructions are included in the letters that I'll be telling you about. I believe the big three charge like $5, and that freeze remains. If you leave it on there for 20 years, it'll stay on there for 20 years. Now, there are other services that will offer credit monitoring. You pay them a monthly fee. They monitor your report. They'll tell you if something suspicious has happened. But after it happens, I don't want to know after the fact. It's too late then, because then you have a fight on your hands. you have a major fight on your hands. If the credit report is frozen, there will be no suspicious activity. Not even you can apply for credit anywhere. If you don't have a certain passphrase, or if you don't lift that credit freeze, it remains, and no one can apply for credit, even if it's you. You can have all your IDs, your utility bills. You can have your firstborn. You can have your mother's blood type. It's not going through. I would recommend that you freeze your reports. Mine are frozen, and they have been for years. I'm not very credit active, but in the event that I need to do something or I need to move about in a certain way, I will call and say, hey, lift this for 48 hours. Or I'll do it online and have it lifted. But once that is done, even all of these pre-approved offers that you get in the mail, because you will have some people that'll go in and they'll do a soft pull on your credit report. A soft pull is one that you didn't ask for, you didn't authorize, you were not applying for credit. Someone was looking at your credit report for whatever reason, for a business reason. They wanted to offer you a credit card, or because they wanted to get your information, you know, and I don't want people in my business. I don't want you in my credit file. I don't want it just wide open so anyone could just go in there, you know, and look whenever they feel the need to. So I freeze mine, and it's been that way for years. A hard pull is when you actually do apply for credit. That's a completely different episode. When you actually do apply for credit, that is a hard inquiry, a hard pull on your credit report. So once you get that information frozen, when you go back to the creditors and you let Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion know that you found something on your credit report that is inaccurate. It could be inaccurate in any way. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act says that you can dispute it if it's inaccurate. So let me give you an example. One credit report says you owe Chase Bank $7,500. Another credit report says you owe Chase Bank $7,100. Well, they're not both right. It's inaccurate. Validate it. You're within your legal right to do so. If the information on your credit report is, say, 8 years old, at 7 years old, the statute of limitations ends. It needs to be removed. Let's say the dates are wrong. Let's say, you know, everybody is not reporting across the board the exact same information. Do not ask them to verify it, because they will verify it. Okay, let's check this date against this date. Let's update this and correct this number and correct these numbers. Okay, now it's verified. No, you want it validated. And you have 30 days. Your 30 days starts the day that you receive this letter. You can do that online, like I said, but I recommend doing it in writing. You don't want some form letter kicked back to you, which you would probably get anyway, but you don't want some automated form letter telling you, you know, we verified it. Well, how did you verify it? What means did you use to verify it? If no one can access your credit report, then no one can access your credit report. That's not your problem. The burden of proof is not on you. It's on them. So, unfortunately, at the time of this recording, a lot of agencies are working with skeleton crews. That's not your problem either. So, it is what it is. But with the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, it gives you the right to not only have information validated, but when you say, hey, prove that this is my debt. Don't just verify that I used to live there one time, because so did a lot of other people. I used to get emails from an electric company, and I need to check that old account because I'm probably still getting them. Somebody with my same name in Texas, I was getting her electric bills, all of her sensitive information. I'm sure she didn't give them my email address. I don't know how or why they were coming to me. There's also someone that opened an account in Oklahoma at a bank using my information. I've never lived in Oklahoma. You have 30 days to validate it or take it off of my report, because you're reporting erroneous information concerning me. Now, if it's a medical debt, because of the HIPAA laws, they can't just share your medical information, your medical records, anything concerning medical information. The HIPAA laws protect you there. So you can request to have that information removed. Show me where you're authorized to collect on this debt. Are you not aware of the HIPAA laws? You know, there are letters for that. And when I say there are letters for that, we offer a series of letters that will that you can send out to the credit bureaus when you're doing disputes. You can write your own, but these are pre-written form letters. You plug in your account number, your personal information. I would not advise that you put a wet signature on it, but put in your information as it pertains unto you. If you want to change some of the verbiage, that's fine. But they just kind of help give you a leg to stand on. Now, when I say letters, I'm talking about a dispute letter. And then there's another letter for you to send 30 days later saying your time is up. I need you to go ahead and remove this. There's another letter for you to send. If you asked for certain information and they did not provide that information, all they did was say that it was validated. I asked for a copy of the contract, the agreement that I entered into. I asked for dates and times. I asked for this and that. Your proof is not valid. There's a letter for that. I wouldn't just shrug it off and say, well, it didn't work. Go back. Because this is a part of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. It gives you those rights to have this information verified. They can't just make accusations against you and leave it there, and you have no leg to stand on. You do have rights. There is also one about the statute of limitations regarding, you know, it's different for different states. So there's a list for each state and what the statute of limitations are in your state, because it is different. Everywhere is not the same. There's another letter that's called pay for delete letter. In some cases, if you're not able to have it removed through any of those means, and it's still with the original creditor, because the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, again, that's regarding third-party debt collectors. If it's still with the original creditor and you want to try to negotiate something, there's a letter in there called pay for delete. Some of them will agree to have it deleted from your credit report in exchange for payment in full. That is another bargaining chip that you can use. There's another one for a dispute with check systems. If you have something with check systems and you want to dispute that, there's a letter for that. There is one for removal when sold. Some collection agencies will sell your information to yet another one if they're not able to reach you somehow. And then you wind up seeing the same account on your credit report two and three different times. There are some cases to where people will send in a payment and then they'll try to fight it. You just reset the clock when you send in a payment. So that 7 years, even if it was 7 years old, you just reset the clock. So there are situations to where people, some people let it go to where it's in judgment. Now, if you're in a situation to where you're trying to buy a home, but you already have a default judgment against you, I cannot help you remove that. But I can say that there are some situations to where, and if you would have to get the seller to agree, if you can negotiate the debt down, and once that debt is negotiated down as low as you can get it, if the seller would agree to include the price of that judgment, the cost of that judgment, into the purchase price of the home, and your mortgage, your home loan would cover that, they would get their money back the same day at closing. They hand the creditor or the collector a check, get it in writing that judgment has been satisfied, bring that to closing. At closing, you guys sign the paperwork. They get their check for the cost of the home, which includes the check that they just wrote for your judgment. And it just depends on how much it is. It depends on who the seller is. There are some, you know, some little loopholes, some ways around some things. So, but as far as having that removed, that is, I can't help you with that one. Now, usually a collector's first contact with you is usually in writing. And in that letter, if you read it, it'll tell you that you have 30 days to dispute it or not. It'll tell you who the original creditor is. It'll usually have your mini Miranda in there. It'll also tell you the amount, account numbers, things like that. It'll tell you to respond within 30 days. I would respond. Unfortunately, this is the process for a lot of people. They'll get the letter, they'll ignore the letter. Out of sight, out of mind, the phone calls start. They'll start calling your phone. They'll start calling your job. They'll call wherever they have a phone number from. They'll pull your credit report. They'll get your information, find out who your employer is. If after a certain amount of time, they have not been able to reach you successfully, some will immediately send out a judgment against you. And I know that because that happened to me. All I did was respond, and it disappeared. A judgment. If they get a default judgment against you, which is a situation to where papers were served to you at your home by a sheriff or sheriff's office, they served you papers, they told you that you were being sued, and you did nothing, you didn't show up, then they have what's called a default judgment. And by default, they have won because you did not show up. There are some collectors who are so shady, I'll use that word, they will tell the consumer, oh, it's okay, you don't have to show up, it's just a formality. No, show up. Because if you don't show up, they win by default, and they can begin to chase you for the next decade or two. Know where you can hide. Any one of your employers, wherever you work, as soon as they find out, they can legally garnish you. That 7-year statute of limitation, it goes out the window. They can garnish you. They can garnish your bank account legally. They have the law behind them now. Even if the debt was old, if the debt was not yours, if the debt was some, it does not matter. You can try to go to court. It's too late. They already won. So show up. In those papers, if you read them, it'll tell you that you have a certain amount of time to respond. For you to respond in writing, for you to not only send a copy to the creditor, the collections, they also want you to send a copy to them, to where the judgment was filed against you. Usually with the city, the state, or what have you, I don't remember. But in my particular case, I was getting bills, medical bills. I ignored them because I said, oh, my insurance should cover that. That's under my insurance. Maybe there's, you know, a time lapse between when the bill went out and when the letter went out. They'll get it. It'll be fine. So whenever I saw that letter come in the mail, I would toss it because my insurance was going to cover it. This is not a bill is what I'm thinking. It was a bill. Insurance did not cover it. It was an oversight on my part. It was my fault. So the sheriff came. At a time when I was sleeping, I was like in REM sleep. I got this hard, strong knock at my door, and he handed me the papers and said, you've been served. I'm like, what? Actually, prior to that, 2 weeks later, you've heard of ambulance chasers. When people get in accidents, lawyers begin to write you and say, hey, I see you've been in an accident. If you want us to represent you, call us. You know, I got one of those postcards, but I'm like, you know, I'm not being sued. We see you're getting sued. Give us a call. I'm like, I'm not getting sued. I haven't done anything to anybody. Sure enough, 2 weeks later, here comes this hard knock at my door. He gave me the papers and said that I had been served. I read through it. I saw that it was that medical bill that I kept ignoring. And it gave me a certain amount of time to respond in writing. I responded in writing. I took it. I hand delivered it to that city's office that they told me, wherever they filed it. And then I also hand delivered it to the post office that the zip code was on. It was a local collector. And I believe they were using an attorney's office or attorney's name or something, but they were local. So I was able to find out what post office served that zip code. And I went at a time where it was slow, about 10:30 in the morning. No one else was in there. I went in and I handed the written response to the lady behind the desk. I said, is this the correct post office? She said, yes, this is it. And I said, I want to make sure that these people get this. Can you put this in their box? And she looked and she said, oh, I know who these guys are. They're in here all the time. I'm like, oh, really? She said, yeah, they brag about how they get all these default judgments against people and how all this money that they're bringing in. And it's sad, but it was true. People get scared, or they'll see an attorney's name, or they'll, you know, get the paperwork and they feel helpless, and they don't respond. And that you can't continue to do that. At the first contact, respond. If it's gone past that point to where a judgment has been filed against you and you've received the paperwork, then by all means, you have a certain amount of time even then to still respond. I would advise you to respond. Now, this being a medical debt, you can easily say, hey, pursuant to HIPAA law so-and-so, can you you know, there's a letter for that. I can't off the top of my head remember all the verbiage in it, but respond and respond in writing. I responded. I haven't heard from them since. It's been 2 years. There was no court date. Everything fell flat. I never got a phone call. I never got another letter. I never got another bill. They just, you know, a lot of them, unfortunately, because of that profit margin I told you about it at the beginning of this episode, a lot of them is just easy money. They send scary letters and it's easy money. For, a little bit of money, they can get into this business. And the profits are absolutely bananas. But I responded. That's all I did. And I haven't heard from them since. So always respond. If you're past that point and the time for you to respond has passed, show up. Some of them may try to pull you out to the side. If they don't tell you, oh, you don't have to show up. It's just a formality. Or here, just sign this. This is a authorization to enter a judgment. No, don't sign it. Show up. When you get there, if they try to pull you out to the side and say, hey, before we go before the judge, we're in court now. Do you want to go ahead and get this squashed? Do you want to go ahead and, you know, make an agreement or some sort of arrangement? If it's past 7 years, time is barred. But if they catch you not showing up, or if they catch you before you even go before the judge to even state your case, to state your claim or anything, it's a default judgment. By default, they win and they can legally chase you forever. They garnish every bank account that you open. It doesn't matter if you're 90 years old and it's your Social Security and it's all that you have to pay your bills or to buy your medicine. They do not care. You're a name on a spreadsheet. Show up, respond. That's my biggest advice. And a lot of people wind up in that situation through a series of out of sight, out of mind. It does not go away. You have to do something. You have to respond. When someone is accusing you of something that's inaccurate, erroneous, what have you, respond. If you're in a situation to where you have a bankruptcy on your report, I think that may be 10 years. There's not a whole lot that you can do with those. I know in some places you can go to where that information was entered, maybe your county clerk's office, wherever the records are kept in your state. Speak to them and ask, did you verify this information? Because it's a part of public record now. Did you verify this? If they say no, ask them to put that in writing. So now you have something that you can take to the credit bureaus and say, hey, this information was not validated or verified, but you have it on my credit report. Can you tell me why? Or, you know, you can probably have a leg to stand on there, you know, something to fight with that way. But I don't know. I've not been in that situation, so I can't really speak to that. And this is just entertainment purposes only. Like we said, I am not a lawyer. But yeah, you do have rights. I would invite you to read up on the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, find out what's entailed in there, because you know, there's a certain number of times that they can't call you. There's a certain time of day that they can't call you. There are certain things that they can and can't do, that they can and can't threaten, that they can and can't promise. But whatever agreement you enter into, if it is a situation to where you do have an agreement with them, always get it in writing. If it's a pay for delete, whatever it is, make sure you always get it in writing, because then it's your word against theirs. And if someone is, you know, trying to get employee of the month and get whatever bonus or incentive, and they'll promise you anything. And it's your word against theirs, as long as that money comes through the door. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't know what their rights are. So don't ignore those letters when they come. Don't ignore the judgments. Don't ignore the paperwork. Don't ignore it. Don't let it get so far to where they have a default judgment against you. And now you're stuck. And everywhere you go, you're in danger of having 25% or more of your check taken from you. And you're in danger of having your accounts dipped into, you know, and again, that's why I'm making this episode, because I've seen that happen a lot, and it doesn't have to. You do have rights. And if you're trying to find employment, if you're trying to get, you know, transportation, if you're trying to purchase a home, just trying to provide for your family, then these rights are available to you. Now, a lot of them, granted, we're using them as loopholes. That's one thing I pray for. The enemy uses loopholes. We can use loopholes too. You're well within your rights. And if something isn't accurate, I don't care if it's off by 24 hours or if it's off by $100, validate it. You're well within your rights to do so. You didn't lie and say that this is not my account. You didn't lie and say that this information is not accurate. You're saying, I need you to validate this because, actually it is not accurate. All three of them reporting completely different information. Everybody is not telling the truth. Ask for it to be validated. But again, before you do anything, go to the bigger five and make sure that you have all that old information deleted, your old old phone numbers, old employers, old addresses, have all that old stuff deleted. And again, LexisNexis, SageStream, Innovus, CoreLogic, ARS, have your reports frozen with them. Also have them frozen with Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Have all of that old information deleted. And if you want to, I would definitely advise that you freeze your accounts with all the things that are going on. Cybersecurity, all of these people on the dark web, a lot of times there are breaches in companies. You're getting letters where your information was breached. You know, we'll offer you credit monitoring for a year. No, your information's on the dark web, and it's just a matter of time before somebody gets to you and begins to attempt to use your information. So I would definitely freeze my reports. You're well within your rights to do so. But once the information is reported on your credit bureau, it is not it's not up to you to prove it. It's up to them, because they're the ones that are reporting it. You make an accusation against someone, you have to prove it. And if they cannot prove it, because, you know, there is a lot of companies, unfortunately, they're, you know, shorthanded, and I'm very sorry, but you have 30 days, you know, and if it's not verified within 30 days, they do have to remove that information from your report. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've left out. There are third-party apps who will, give you your credit score. They say they'll give you a free credit score. And if you read the fine print, they'll tell you that that information may not be accurate. And I was in that case. My score was almost 150 points higher than they were telling me that it was. I delayed a major purchase. I was trying to buy a home. I delayed a major purchase for years trying to figure out, now I'm not credit active. There's only a car on my report and I pay it on time every month. Why is my score, you know? And if you Google it, you'll find a lot of horror stories like that, to where they thought all this time their score was one thing, but it was something else. Either they're telling you it's higher than it actually is, or it's lower than it actually is. Some people went to make a major purchase thinking that they were in good shape and came to find out they were way below what they were being told that they were. So I would just advise to get it from the horse's mouth, because they'll tell you themselves if you read that it's probably not accurate. It's free. They're trying to sell you some information. And even for me, I like my information frozen, because can you imagine, you meet someone while you're out and about, they get your phone number, you know, you thinking this is going to be nice, and they turn around and sell it. To me, that's what it's like. It's none of your business what my score is. It's none of your business. You know, people that are making these pre-approved offers, or people that'll call you and say, hey, you know, if you own a business, you may get emails and say, hey, we have this list of names and addresses of people that, you know, they're this, they're that, you know, would you like to buy it? You're selling me other people's information. You know, it's not yours to sell. It's none of your business what's on my report. I don't want just anybody to be able to go in and to pull my information. I don't want it just wide open for anyone to just go in and to apply as soon as they catch wind of what my name and address is. And that happens to people, unfortunately. So I keep mine frozen. I'm well within my rights to do so. How you're going to validate and verify from that point, it's not my problem. And I'm not going to remove my freeze. There's entirely too much cybercrime going on. People are getting too many letters saying your information was compromised. And that's why I don't like saving my credit card information on all of these different apps. Sure, it's convenient. Save your credit card so the next time you can just go in, Sure, it's convenient, but the next thing you know, you're getting a letter in the mail that they were breached. They offer you maybe a year of free monitoring. But when your information is on the dark web, there's millions of people's social security numbers, their credit card information, and it's just a matter of time. I freeze mine. I'm within my rights to do so. I do know that the current administration has been talking about getting rid of the credit bureaus because I believe President Biden is now, I haven't studied it out, so this is just hearsay, but I believe that he's wanting to remove the credit bureaus because he's trying to eliminate the wealth gap between the races. I don't really understand that because your race is not on your credit report, it's on the credit application. Your gender, your marital status, all that good stuff's on the credit application. Now, if this is something that you've been trying to do, you probably know that late payments are harder to remove than the information that I previously mentioned. And that's because usually with a late payment, that's concerning the original creditor. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act does not apply to them. If it's a late payment, there, I believe we have a letter in the package as well to try to negotiate something. And in that case, you're kind of appealing to them. You're being very nice, which you're nice anyway. You know, you're not going to call them demanding anything. I know my rights, that it doesn't apply to them. You just calling, you're just appealing to them. And especially with everything that's been going on with COVID, a lot of people, even the people that you're talking to have probably been affected in some way, or they know someone that has been. So if you appeal to their decency, their, and just kind of let them know your situation and what happened and promise not to do it again. There is a letter in the package to send out to those creditors to try to appeal to them to have those late payments removed. And again, dealing with the original creditor is going to be a lot tougher than dealing with the third party. Now, this episode is regarding third party debt collectors and having information removed from your credit report. The letters that I've been speaking about, those are letters that you can send out. And again, that's why I recommend doing it in writing, because you do it, and when you do it certified. You have the post office to hand deliver it to a person and to get a signature. They're not just dropping it in the mail. You're not going online and you're not saying, hey, I dispute this, and then they kick it back and say, hey, this information was verified, and then you go away with your tail between your legs. You're telling them, this is what I want. This is the information that I want verified. You know, I want a copy of this. I want proof of that. I want to see the agreement that I entered into. Where did you get my signature? You know, when did I make this agreement? You know, and show me that you're even authorized to collect on this agreement, that you're not, you know, some Billy Bob sitting at his kitchen table sending out letters hoping money comes back to a post office. You know, the letters include, it's not exhaustive, but in this package, there are letters, there are form letters, they are pre-written letters. You can change the verbiage if you want, but make sure you don't add a wet signature to them, but make sure you just type your signature on the bottom, change your information, put in your account number, your name, your address, and all of that good stuff. Make sure you send it out certified. That package includes your dispute letter, your initial dispute letter. It's letting them know what you want, letting them know that information has been reported that is inaccurate. Even again, if it's you know, a few hundred dollars off between this report and that report, they're both not accurate. You're well within your rights. You're not going to say, this is not my account, if you know it's your account. And this is not a get out of debt free, you know, episode. You have a moral obligation to pay your debts. But if you're in a situation to where it's hindering you from getting employment, how are you going to pay your debts? If you're in a situation to where you're being harassed, you have rights. And that's what we're talking to you about today. But in that package, it includes your initial dispute letter. If they did not send what you requested, you can send them another letter that's also in that package that says that your proof is not sufficient. That's another letter that's in there. Another letter is a statute of limitations, letting them know that this is time barred. Statute of limitations is over. Cease and desist all contact. There is another letter for 30 days after the dispute, where you're just simply letting them know your time is up. Have this removed, please, and thank you. You can also send a letter to Check Systems if you have Check Systems reporting inaccurate information, keeping you from getting a bank account. There's a letter for that purpose as well. There's a letter called a cease and desist letter. That cease and desist letter let them know to cease all contact. Don't call my job. Don't call my house. Don't call my family. Don't mail me. Don't email me. Cease and desist all contact. And again, they can only contact you one more time, and that's to tell you, we received your letter and we won't be bothering you anymore. You can get, now that doesn't mean that they're going to cease all collection efforts. If they say, if they do a judgment against you, now if it's still within the 7 years and it is a valid debt and you do owe the debt, they will attempt to collect it. That's not to say that. That's not what that's for. You don't just say cease and desist and poof, you no longer owe these people money. If it's a valid debt and it's within the 7 years and they're within their rights, collection efforts will continue. Now, there is also a letter for removal when sold. When a debt collector sells a debt, sometimes they're on your credit report and then the people that they sell it to is on your credit report. You pay one of them and it's been over 7 years, you just reset the clock and you're at day one. Up to you. There's another letter called regarding the HIPAA laws, if it's a medical debt. Just depending on what laws they violated with HIPAA, because your information is not to be shared with a third party, especially your medical information, rather. That's what's not to be shared with a third party. So you do have some rights there. There is information about your statute of limitations by state. That's also in there. It's in a package. And if you're interested in that, there is a fee for that. You can also write your own letters. And you will see people that say, don't send a form letter, don't use a form letter. And then a few breaths later, they'll say, use this letter. Well, that's a form letter. It's the exact same thing. What a form letter is that it's pre-written for you. And they're saying that because after so many goes through the system will pick it up and say, this looks like a form letter. Well, it is a form letter and it's not illegal. But sometimes you'll get a letter back that says, it looks like you're using a company, or it looks like you sent us a form letter. You did. What about it? Aren't you sending me a form letter? Anyway, if you're interested, that is the link to those letters are in the description. Those are not free. Those took some time and some research, but they are available to you. Or I've told you who to write. I've told you what to say. I've told you how to say it. I've told you what your rights are, and you can do it yourself. But those letters are available to you if you are interested. And the link, again, is in the description. That is an immediate download, so you can get them instantly. But it does help to support the channel, and it helps us to be able to continue to bring you all this good information. But I thank you for listening. This has been fun, and I hope that it helps some of you. But you're not hopeless. Your situation is not hopeless. You're not helpless. You do have rights. And again, while I don't know everything, I would point you to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and I would invite you to read it and find out what your rights are. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've left out. I cannot think of anything off the top of my head. But again, like I said, I do not know everything. I'm just willing to share what I do know. My name again is Tamika Riley. I thank you for listening. This is the Kingdom Business Podcast. If you want more information, if you want to hear archives of previous episodes, if you have a question, you can reach out to me online at TamikaRiley.com. That's Tango Alpha Mike, Echo Kilo Alpha, Romeo Indigo Lima, Echo Yankee.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Business Podcast. For archives, archives of more podcasts like these and tons of other resources for your success. Join us at www.tamikareilly.com.